Hey, this is Adam Mastriani, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Studio 2009. This is episode 51. I'm, of course, TFU and Mike, and joining me for a second week in I can't talk anymore, folks. I'm done podcasting. Good night, everybody. Joining me for the second week in a row, which hasn't happened in a while on this show, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
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 Hello. And tonight we are going to be going through a Ryan Reynolds double feature.
Never thought you would have heard that coming out of your mouth, did you?
Well, you know... Surprisingly,
from the time that we started the network, I mean, he did have Green Lantern.
Yes, yes, but I don't blame him for that. I blame everybody else involved.
What's funny is the guys involved with that are responsible for the Arrowverse.
Yeah, well, they didn't know what they were doing.
The budget wasn't allowing them to do what they needed to do.
Look, man, if you're going to try to make a Green Lantern live action film, you need Lucas levels.
Well. The other thing is, too, notice that they purposely strayed away from using Green Lantern ever. They hinted at it, but they never actually used him you know, they're like, it's bad juju there.
Yeah, hey, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the interesting thing is, yes, you are absolutely correct. You know, I have never... And the funny thing is, what's so crazy about this now is when we started the network and we were doing MWire stuff, and I was like, Ryan Reynolds, Van Wilder, blah, 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 blah. The crazy thing is, between Six Underground, The Adam Project, there's a couple other ones of his that I actually do like. I actually made a top four list of Ryan Reynolds films I actually like.
But Free Guy and these two are really good.
Yeah. Deadpool. Deadpool's on a whole other level though, but like just original like stuff with him. And the crazy thing is that at some point before December 31st, you and I are going to have to do a 20th anniversary of the original Van Wilder film because it's been 20 fucking years since that movie came out.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, uh-huh. I half want to make it another double feature where I'd be like Van Wilder meets the Breakfast Club, considering the late great Paul Gleason was in both films. So yes, we are here, Ryan Reynolds tonight on Studio 2009. First up is The Adam Project.
Look up.
I think we're about to have some company. Stop the car.
What? What?
Stop! Go, 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 go. Reverse! Laura, this is me.
Hi. Parallel contact, babe?
Well, you know, you've always said that you wished you'd met me earlier. Here I am.
Do you remember this? I mean, if this is happening to me, it already happened to you, right? Unless it works more like a multiverse where each ripple creates an alternate timeline.
A multiverse? My God, we watched too many movies.
So 2050, is it really bad?
It's not great.
Find him.
Get ready to run.
My plan to a 12-year-old nerd with an
you inhaler. I do not have a plan,
but I know somebody who does.
Dad.
I'm the godfather of time travel?
The Adam Project. We don't pull this off, we're not getting back. What do you say, kid?
Punch that shit.
Oh, yeah. I spent 30 years trying to get away from the me that was you. And I'll tell you what. You were the best part all along. Did you get to be so smart?
How did you get to be so dumb?
Nice try.
Oh boy, this movie. I think I was about halfway through it when I realized what it actually was.
Oh, really? You didn't know it was a time travel film?
No, I mean, I got it. I mean, hello, you know, time travel is real. You just haven't found it. Yeah, no, I understood that. But by the time I was in the midst of, oh my godding about everything that was going on, I'm like, holy crap, this is Disney's The Kid without Bruce Willis. That's my first thought when it fully came to realization. Yeah, I knew it was a time travel movie. I knew it was this. I knew it was that. I thought, but if you look at it, if you look at him with his kid self, you go back to whenever the hell that was, the 90s, I think, 96, I want to say, was Disney's The Kid. I'm probably wrong with that, but, you know, same kind of deal. Same thing with other movies that have done this type of thing where it's like, you know, you go back to see your younger self, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I got to say, man, for the kid that they cast in this as young Adam, this is his debut. And, like, I mean, I don't know. He's very, like, I can imagine a young Ryan Reynolds being like that kid.
He did really well.
Yes, he did very well. Walker Scubell is his name.
And I got to say, too, I really enjoy time travel.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this was really well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I said before, starring Ryan Reynolds, which it's so funny. I look at the cast of the main cast of this film, of the major characters. You have DC, Marvel, Star Trek, and Alias all in one film.
I thought it was kind of funny that they had Ruffalo.
Uh-huh, me too.
With Jennifer Garner.
Uh-huh, me too.
It's not the first time.
Actually, you know what? It's the first reunion because this is 13 going on 30 all over again.
Yep.
That's the other, yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
Yep. I love that movie too. I don't know why. I just do. It's just weird. It's one of those weird, quirky, like teen romance comedy type movies, but it's really, really good. So anyway, The Adam Project, for those that don't know, is basically all about time travel, and they live in a dystopian 2050, which sadly isn't too far off from where we are currently. Oh, God. That's... Man, time travel movies suck sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And basically,
yeah,
I
found it interesting how just spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How the I think it was Maya.
Yeah.
Sorian. Yeah. The one that killed Mark Ruffalo, essentially.
No, she killed...
killed his girlfriend.
Yeah, killed his wife. Yeah.
But I mean, like, the whole, you know, the whole aspect of other stuff. Yeah, I forgot that the dad died a different way. Which was rather tragic, considering everything that entails. And he didn't do, like, I was kind of secretly hoping he would do the Doc Brown thing.
Yeah.
Like, not die.
Yeah.
Like, use the future events to not die and to survive and to be there in his kid's life, and he still went through with how the natural course of things went.
Well, I think that's the thing, though. Every time travel movie since 1990 has to at least follow the Back to the Future rules. They don't have to, but they should. And they really wanted to follow the rules this time. They didn't want a cop out. And honestly, it makes it more emotional.
Oh, it totally does.
Yeah, it works so much better. Like, do I want the kid to lose his father? No, I don't want any kid to lose their parent or anything like that. But, like, in the scope of the movie, with the way that adult Adam is and the way he thought of his father versus the way kid at this whole anger versus sadness thing, and you kind of lost which, you know, you kind of forgot which one was which kind of thing. I love that whole aspect. Again, Sean Levy just pulling at the heartstrings of this whole damn thing. And this movie is a movie that I want more of, in the sense of
more original films.
More
that take a chance.
Yeah, like, so
less of the franchise and more of the just give me some fun, you know, one-offs that mean something.
Look, I can run down on my hand right now. Batman, Superman, blah blah blah, Star Trek, Star Wars, whatever. You can run off both your hands and feet and everything else. You can count at least whatever, you know, 20 different things that are now multi-million dollar, billion dollar franchises. And that's great. They all had to start somewhere. And me personally, I firmly believe the art of the franchise started somewhere between 1977 and 1980. And after 1980, we got all, like I was saying over on Toycast about how the, or on Tooncast about how the cartoon continuity of the 80s went. You just went from one show to the next show to the next show. So we had all this new stuff back then with Transformers and Thundercats and Mask and blah, 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 blah. Well, now it's 40-something years later, and we now have all the MCU stuff. We have all the DC Extended stuff. We have everything else. And what's missing is, like what you just said, more of the, like, do I want to see a sequel to this? Maybe, but I'm not, like, they didn't leave it at a point where that's what we are missing today. We are missing beginning, middle, and end in films. Like, the story has a natural conclusion.
I mean, they just don't seem to ever give us that anymore. Like, we're always,
yeah,
we're always kind of, you know, this is how it is, and, you know, we end up with this thing that always has to become a franchise or a new, you know, a sequel or who knows what else. I mean, I don't per se have a problem with sequels or continuing. Like, I know Free Guy, they're making another one.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that. It'll be interesting to see where they go with it. But I think that we've lost the era of the threequel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some deserve one film, some deserve two, some deserve the threequel. And then, honestly, I'd like to see a lot of them stop.
Yeah. Well, again,
I get too many of the, like, say what you will of Marvel at this point.
Yeah.
They're kind of running on dry. And DC can't seem to get past one film of anything. So I think we're kind of getting to that point of the fatigue of, okay, you know, I just want to watch a film. I don't want to watch 20.
Yeah, and the thing with DC is that there's so much stuff going on over there with the Warner Discovery merger that they don't know their head from their ass currently. So
bad management.
Well, yes, but I'm saying, like, they just, because it's in such turmoil right now and it's in such upheaval and all this and all that, nobody knows what the hell's going to happen with DC. But films like The Adam Project, films like what we'll talk about later with Six Underground, is that, you know, I, like, in 1995 when Michael Bay made Bad Boys, no one ever really expected a sequel to Bad Boys. And then we got it in 2003, 2004, whatever the hell that was, 2001, whatever. But the point is, same thing with Beverly Hills Cop. Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2, okay, fine. Cop 1 came out in 84, Cop 2 in 87. Cop 3 doesn't hit until 94. From 87 to 94, to me, that's too damn long. You yourself, I know you're going to agree with me when I say this. You have said to me off air and stuff that Dumb and Dumber sequel that they actually did with the two of them, they probably shouldn't have done because it's been too damn long since the original first film.
Yep.
Like, yep.
It's, I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
There's an era for certain types of films.
Yeah.
And I know we've gone way off topic from,
it's okay.
From the Adam Project.
No. We'll get back there.
Like, for instance, Beverly Hills Cop, I think we're at that stage where you could do a fourth one, but it would have to be passing the torch. Almost like how they did Ghostbusters 3.
Yep.
Which was very tastefully done. It was honoring everything that came before.
Mm-hmm.
And still passing the torch.
Yep.
So I feel like if they were to go that route with Beverly Hills Cop 4, I would feel okay about it. Yeah. Because you know that the actors, like, yeah, they may pop up from time to time, but they're not integral to the thing. And it's also allowing it to move on without it being a straight reboot. And a lot of Hollywood's just basically at this point now where they're just recycling the same crap over and over and over.
Well, it's that, plus it is also you're right, the recycling of ideas and of things and whatever and not
approaching. And the Farrelly brothers, they're like the Dumb and Dumber stuff, yeah. Like that type of humor just doesn't jive with today's audience at all. Like I was a big fan of their old stuff, mm-hmm. but even Dumb and Dumber, it's not one I really enjoyed as a kid. Like, yeah, I'd watch it here or there, but it's not. It was so stupid. I don't feel the need to go back. Whereas like Ace Ventura, I would have liked to have gotten an Ace Ventura 3. And I've heard him talk about it from time to time. But honestly, the best use of Jim Carrey since the early 2000s was his role as Robotnik in the Sonic films.
Which we will get to eventually.
Which that was probably the best I've seen him in almost 20 years.
See, that's the thing, though. Like, from, I'm just going to say 1984 to now, okay? So for the last 38 years, there has been a slow, gradual, transitional change of comedians becoming actors and actors becoming comedians and doing this and doing... You look at Eddie Murphy and the Beverly Hills Cop films... He started out as a comedian. Those films are, he is funny and those films are funny, but they are action comedies. They are not they are not your Ace Venturas. They are not your Dumb and Dumbers. They are not your, what's a comedy from the 80s? God, I'll use one from the 90s, the Airheads or what, you know what I mean? They took comedians and put them into action films, okay? And that was great at the time. And now, we're X number of years...
It doesn't quite work.
It doesn't quite work anymore because the comedians that we have now are people who grew up with people like Eddie and Dan Aykroyd and things like that. And not that they're trying to emulate them, but the other part of the problem with the coin flip here is we are now 38 years... past when all this new stuff kind of started, which means all these companies that own this stuff want to keep up the IP. And you have to keep going with the Indiana Jones 5, 6, 7, 8. So you got to keep, you know, whatever this, that, and the other thing. With the Adam Project, you don't have to do that. It is a beginning, middle, and end complete story that has a nice, logical, emotionally... integral ending to it without being like, okay, I want to see these people in two more movies. Would I like to? Yes, but I don't think the Adam Project is set for that kind of thing. I think it was meant to be.
And I think that it works really well as just the one-off that it is.
Yep.
It doesn't need anything spectacularly extravagant. It just needs to function in its own its own time span, own universe, own fixed time.
Yeah.
And it pulled it off flawlessly. It had a beginning, middle, and an end. And yep. I just really enjoyed it.
I was really surprised to see before we found out as we're watching this that the Hulk is Deadpool's dad. I was really surprised. I literally gasped. I was like, "Oh my God, Jennifer Garner is in this!" Like, because I know you had mentioned this movie to me. I don't know, last year or something or whatever. You had mentioned this to me a while ago, and I was like, "Oh, okay, we'll do that when we get to it." But I never really like sought it out. I never really looked any information. Like I literally went. I didn't watch the trailer until after I had watched the film, and I only watched that to record the audio for the show. So like, I went into this completely blind, and once I was into it, I was like, "Oh, this is cool. This is good. This is probably the best time travel movie outside of the MCU in the last 15 years." Maybe. I don't know. I'm probably going to regret saying that. But, yeah. I don't know. But with this is basically, you know, in 2050, it's dystopian. And it's all Sorian's fault because she's greedy and everything like that. And she goes back and kills Adam's wife, Laura. And I love the visual effects. I love the ships. I love the design of the ships because they remind me so much of a mix of what Star Wars ships and Star Trek ships are.
I can see that.
And I mean like a modern version of what if somehow, some way in 1989, Star Wars and Star Trek had a crossover, you know what I mean? Like a combination X-Wing and what's one of the fighter jets from Star Trek. Is it, the Enterprise is more than just it's a whole ship. So I don't know.
Do think it's funny this movie got kind of stuck in production hell for a while.
Did it? Oh yeah, it did, didn't it?
That it was initially announced in 2012.
Oh wow, it's that old?
Yeah, and it was going to be called Our Name is Adam in October 2012, and Paramount became interested and was going to have Tom Cruise star.
No, thank God they didn't. It was revived
in 2020 when it moved to Netflix with Sean Levy as director and Ryan Reynolds set to star.
Yeah, I see that.
After they did Free Guy. And they wrote a new draft from previous drafts, and then they added everybody else to it. And yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. So I guess somebody at IGN gave it a 9 out of 10, called it a mashup of Back to the Future and The Last Starfighter.
It kind of is. It really, really is.
Yet on Rotten Tomatoes, it got 67% of 208 critics' reviews being positive, with an average rating of 6.1 out of 10, which just goes to show you the critics are again full of crap.
Yes.
Not worth the salt.
No.
I know some of them are going to be like, "All right, you guys suck. You're just podcasters." It's like, dude.
Anytime
a critic is like, "Oh, this is the best thing ever," look at the audience score. What does the audience think? Because 90% of the time, the audience is giving it the review it actually should be getting.
Yes, absolutely. Look, I'm not going to sit here and speak ill of the dead, but Roger Ebert is gone. The only other film critic that I actually would even pay any attention to as far as their opinion currently right now in this day and age from when I was a kid is Leonard Maltin. That's the only one I would say. And even he could be wrong at times.
Yep.
But I mean, like, you know, I believe what we're going to talk about later with Six Underground. I believe I'm the only person that I know that actually likes that movie. And I'll get your opinion later once we do it. But like, I put out a tweet earlier right before we were doing this show. And I said, am I the only one that actually enjoys Six Underground? And God love him, but you know who had to comment in with that, with a reply on Facebook? Yup, DJ Valentine. Gotta love DJ. But the Adam Project is really fun. I really dig it. I love the music. not just the bombastic, like, Guardians of the Galaxy type songs they threw in there, but Rob Simonson's actual instrumental score. I love it. It's so good. And he's worked on, like, I'm just looking up his, like, Surf's Up, Stone of Destiny, Moneyball. Let's see. Girl Most Likely from 2012, Life of Pi. What else has he done? He's done Going in Style. He was additional music on The Gifted, or Gifted, I should say. But he's done so much stuff, and he's got, like, he did the music for Ghostbusters Afterlife, which we will cover eventually on this show. So, yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely, really, really great, great composer. But, yeah, this movie, man, what was your favorite scene out of the movie?
Lightsaber.
Yeah. It's not a lightsaber.
Yes, I know. No, but I liked that. And then I liked the, you know, when he's busting in and he kicks the, you know, the fridge, and the kid's like, yeah, how do you, you know, and he's like, you know, just kind of blowing it off. And
yep.
And then, of course, I like the aspects where they're dealing with future and past versions of Maya.
Yep. Yeah, for me, I like how this film says it's a dystopian 2050. And they live out in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, apparently. And all this woods is really nice and really peaceful and everything else. But yet everywhere else, apparently, on the planet is a dystopia. Like you said, with adult Adam and young, I love the way they interact with each other. I think that is so fun. I think it's so refreshing. When Mark Ruffalo comes in later as the dad, like, I didn't even know who the, like I said, I looked at nothing before I pressed play on Netflix. So at the moment when they're like, oh, but there is somebody in 2018 who can help us, we're going to go see Dad. Just like the bulk, because again, part of the emotional resonance of this film is that their dad died in a car accident or something in 2021. So it hasn't even been a full year yet, kind of thing. And so young, you know, 12-year-old Adam is like, ooh. And then, of course, all the various versions of the dog hawking. Like, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. The dog time traveled too, except he didn't actually go into the spaceship. That's awesome. That's fun. I was not expecting to see Zoe Saldana in this, though, as the wife. I was not expecting. That was fun. That was interesting. I thought that was great. And his rival there, Christos, I was like, oh, man. Like, that, like, if they hadn't killed him, which I think they eventually do at some point, like, that I could see being, like, the genesis of a next kind of whatever. But I don't know. It is what it is. No, man, so normally I am very... Let's see, how am I going to phrase this? I am very eccentric. It's not the right term I'm looking for, but oh, no, I know what it is. I'm very anal retentive when it comes to doing coverage for the podcast, so I don't forget stuff. I watched this movie first to just record the audio and watch it. I had the screen up the whole time. I sat here and watched it all the way through, enjoyed the hell out of myself. And then just before we recorded this earlier today, I watched it again because I don't ever do that. Like, normally if I need to burn it into my brain, I will do that. But, like, I've watched this movie twice for fun, even though the first time was also for us being able to discuss this on this podcast. And the time travel, the weapons, the spaceships. Hell, even the vehicles, even the cars themselves. I mean, It's just so fun. And I love the way that Laura has to, like, she arms herself and whatever else after she says to them, go, go, go. You know, she arms herself up and she's got guns in one hand and a trigger in the other. And she just does it herself. 3, 2, 1, boom. And then she blows up the spot where the car is coming over. I was like, really? You got to do that? But that's just an awesome little touch that they had her do. I love that. That's so fun. At the end of the day, folks, this movie is fun. It really, really is. It is emotional. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you it isn't. It is very emotional. And considering what I've been through in next month in November, it'll be a year since Karen died. But I was not expecting this movie to be what it was. And I love what it is. And like I said, as soon as I waited for the credits to roll and as soon as I saw Sean Levy's name, I'm like, oh, fucking course. I literally jumped out of my seat and screamed that to myself after I watched it. Because this man has done so much stuff. As a film director, his debut was something called Just in Time from 1997, but his big directorial thing was something we covered way back on MWire, Big Fat Liar, Oh man, Van Wilder is a big fat liar. There's the next double feature, folks, because both of those films are now 20 years old. He did Just Married, Cheaper by the Dozen, Pink Panther, Night at the Museum movies. He's done the Deadpool movie. He's doing Deadpool 3. He did not do the other two. He did Real Steel with Hugh from 2011. I like that movie, yep, too. That movie's a good movie. He's done so many awesome, awesome things, and it's, yeah. The Adam Project, folks. Check it out on Netflix. Anything you want to say about this before we rate it?
No, I definitely recommend the movie.
Absolutely. 5 out of 5 for me. What about you?
Same thing.
Yeah, there was nothing, even nitpicking, there is nothing in this movie I did not like. Now, I am sure we will probably have differences of opinion when it comes to the next movie, because like I said before, I think I'm the only person in my entire friend circle that actually likes this.
How's it going over there?
You're really ruining my flow right now, you know that.
You got an issue.
His movement, man.
We have 15 minutes.
It's time.
Hit it.
Hello, boys.
What if I told you I know what happens when you die? You become a ghost.
No more criminal records.
No more office parties. Or stupid weddings.
The best part of being dead
is the freedom. Not policies or politics.
No one touch. He's mine. All
we
ever hear from you is blah, blah,
blah. We answer to no one. Take out some truly evil people.
He's stuck in the stairwell.
Guys, I got a bad idea.
Don't have bad ideas.
I have good ideas.
Oh! Was that a bad guy?
These people were declared dead.
None of us will be remembered. What's about to happen, Will?
Good things when you raise the bad ones, right?
Who the hell are you?
We're no one.
If they exist, they can be made not to.
Bobby, they have fighter jets!
You see that?
Yes!
You see that?
Yes.
Sorry for yelling.
Welcome to the world's biggest magnet.
Are you out of your mind?
Grenade!
I wasn't sure I had a suspicion, but this is all so fucking dangerous.
Six Underground came out in 2019. It is directed by Michael Bay, starring Ryan Reynolds, along with Ian Bryce. Not Ian Bryce, one of the producers. Starring Ryan Reynolds, Melanie Laurent, Corey Hawkins, Adria Arjona, Ben Hardy, other people, and Dave Franco. Dave Franco plays the driver that gets killed, plays number six. And basically, this is a billionaire who... basically, this is Michael Bay, I guess. I don't know. I like it. It's a fun spy movie. It's interesting. The whole basis of the plot is that they are trying to free Turk... Oh, God. Now, not even I can probably pronounce it correctly. Turkestan. There you go. From the evil dictator brother, and they're going to basically stage a coup to put in the other brother. I love the way this... I know some people, my buddy Jim Black over on Facebook said something like, is it good? No. Is it bad? No. But it's just a film that kind of is feeling its way out. It changes as it goes, because it doesn't necessarily evolve, but it's one of those movies that you think it's one thing in the end, and then by the end, it is still that same thing. But because you have the introduction of Blaine's character, number seven, and he's like, no, man, we're not all robots. No, man, don't just be... What's your name, man? You know? And I, as an action movie, as a Michael Bay action movie, out of all the action movies he's done, it's not the best movie. It's probably one of the most violent movies, as far as visual effects and eyeballs and all that.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Kind of, in a way, reminded me of like a heist Oceans movie.
Mm-hmm.
But with guns.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't actually trying to steal anything, though. Like, I don't necessarily think you could call this a heist movie, because they weren't... Because they even say at the end, can't we just knock off something next time? Can't we just, you know, rob a bank or something? Instead of having to, you know, fix a whole nation by putting in the right ruler. The way that, again, take Wikipedia with a grain of salt, folks, but it's also Michael Bay. Vigilante action thriller film is what they describe it as, which I guess kind of fits. The other reason why I really enjoyed this movie is because it features one of my favorite composers in Lorne Balfe. Lorne has done amazing, amazing work. He was the composer on Megamind, one of your favorite DreamWorks movies. He has also done Not Another Happy Ending, Gloria. He did Terminator Genesis, no matter what people think of the film. He did Home, the animated film Home, starring... Wow, I almost said Blake Shelton. Jim Parsons, a.k.a. Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. Lorne has also done stuff for Mission Impossible and other things. He's really, really cool. He did The Tomorrow War. He's done some... He's composing for Black Adam. Wow. Okay, then. Very cool. But yeah, Six Underground, it is a very standard... Again, it's... And the funny thing is it was quite successful. This movie was actually successful. And somehow, some way, And I don't mind that there isn't going to be a sequel, but apparently on July 28th of 2021, Netflix's film chief Scott Stuber confirmed that the film would not be getting a sequel. Despite its success, he considered the film to be a failure. We didn't feel like we got there on Six Underground creatively. It was a nice hit, but at the end of the day, we didn't feel like we nailed the mark to justify coming back again. There just wasn't that deep a love for those characters or that world. I like the world that they set up. I like the characters that they were setting up by the end of the film. I like the characters throughout the whole film, but where they end up at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, okay, I could see a Six Underground 2 or whatever, just at least one more, that's fine. And the fact that this movie was a success, and yet they're still not willing to, I don't know what that says about them or about Hollywood in general, but the fact that we get sequels that are 20 years too late versus something that we wouldn't even get any, I don't know. Any other thoughts on Six Underground?
I mean, overall, I didn't mind it.
Yep.
I liked the premise.
Yep.
But I kind of agree that it was kind of a flop.
Yeah, but that's, yeah. I've only watched it a few times since 20. I've watched it a couple of times in 2019. I watched it a couple of times in the last few months or so. But in order to prepare for this, this was the first time I had seen it in a while. And going back, I still dig it because of the way that Lorne, again, good use of music between Lorne's instrumental score and between the songs that they actually, like, I've never been a fan of the band Muse. Never really knew it. I've known about them. I've known who they are, but up until Dig Down, I was like, oh, that very first song in the beginning of the movie when he's doing his plot recap of dying and the plane and all that, that's the song that plays there, is the Muse song. And yeah, almost every other song in this I absolutely dug. But yeah, folks, I don't know. For me, I see what's wrong with this movie, and that's fine. I still enjoy it, so I'll probably give it a 3.5 out of 5. What about you?
I'd give it about a 3.
Yeah, it's a very middle-of-the-road spy-type action thriller film, vigilante, whatever. Yeah, so 3.5 and 3. Double feature for Studio 2009. That's going to do it for us. We're going to go to a quick ad break and come back to close the show after this.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, Ninny-bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Well, it's been party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Markham 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Markham 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Oh, I'm gonna enjoy this.
Who talks like that? Did you order like a bully starter kit on Amazon or something? I mean, do you even hear yourself, Chuck? We talked about this.
I didn't say anything.
Shut up, Chuck.
That was 4 months ago on my team's first mission, and that was a glorious clusterfuck.
It didn't fucking work.
1, 5, 1. God, I hate these numbers.
They're for your own safety.
Get in the car.
She's bleeding.
I'm aware.
Nice divergence on the whole other that's something we haven't really talked about on this podcast before, about the sequels and threequels and all that junk. We usually talk about this stuff on Alfred Geek, so that's interesting for this. That works. Besides, it is Hello Studio, so whatever.
True.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us, as I said, here on Studio 2009. Steve Megatron, what is going on with you, sir? It's been a while since we talked to you, so what have you been up to, and what do you got coming up?
Just busy with life, and, of course, doing ETTF and Altered Geek episodes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Coming up next on this podcast, folks, I did not plan this, but it is the way that it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to air, though. It might not. We might actually be taking between episode 50, 51, and 52, between 51 and 52, there's probably going to be a month break or so. I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. So we just released episode 50, which is our finale for the Spider-Man, Summer Spider-Man thing. So we finished that off. We've got this episode. Next episode, I'm doing an Origins. Normally, I would not do that on a 52, but just because of who it is and everything else, and I want to play the whole DC 52 joke. We're going to do an Origins episode with Michael David Sims of Earth2.net, so I will be doing that. And then after that, I have plans for us to finally finish the 90s Batman movies, and then we'll probably do some sort of TV. We gotta start doing some TV stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Maybe come back to the video game thing. I don't know just yet how we're going to do that. But yeah, we're going to have to figure out some TV content. So that's what's coming up here inside the studio. Where can people find you online, sir?
On the Twitters at SCP21.
I am at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio, at Altered Geek, at All Things TFE3, and at It's Studio 2009 on Twitter for all the shows, the network, and all that other good stuff. You'll hear us back in the studio soon. See you next time, everybody.
I am one, but not done.
I wish I was bulletproof, bulletproof. I wish that I could wear a mask and face the truth. I wish that I was.
Take it easy.
Or, you know, fall down and scream. Put the bat down.
Who the hell are you?
Just put the bat down. I'm not going to hurt you, I promise.
What are you doing in here?
Mostly bleeding.